I was going to say good to see you all, but I can't see you all, so that doesn't really work. But anyway, good to be online together. It's a really strange time we're in, isn't it? I would have hoped to be sharing this with you in person, but hopefully you are joining us online and still able to learn from God's word. So the passage, as Chris said, is Matthew 25, 1 to 13. You can follow in any version. I will go verse by verse, or fairly closely. So do follow along with me. Let me just pray before I start. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would speak to us through your word. You would touch us and you would convict us to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So, have you ever felt unprepared for something? Most of us weren't prepared for the situation we're currently in with the coronavirus. We weren't prepared to be confined to our homes. We weren't prepared with enough supplies to ride out the shortages. We weren't prepared to have to do things a completely different way. Some of us are online now. We're learning to use Zoom, but others don't have that luxury. They maybe don't have computers or tablets or smartphones, or even if they do, they're not confident with technology. How could they know that they would need to be? They couldn't know. Maybe your work has been affected by the lockdown regulations and you're struggling. It's been an unexpected bolt out of the blue for all of us, shocking in every way. Perhaps there are other situations when you haven't been ready for something in life. Maybe you weren't ready for the unexpected ill health of a family member and it's knocked you down emotionally. Perhaps you remember a time in the past, maybe recently for some of the viewers, when you weren't properly prepared for an exam and you had that horrible sick feeling inside of anxiety, knowing that you weren't really ready. Or maybe friends or family knocked on your door unexpectedly at an inconvenient time. Or perhaps they came to stay at short notice and you were scrambling to get the house tidy and set up a room for them. Or possibly you weren't ready for the responsibilities of a new job or for the arrival of your first baby or for anything else. I'm sure we can all relate to a situation where we weren't prepared for something. Well, that's what Jesus is talking about in our passage for today. Being prepared for an extremely significant event, and that is his return to earth, his second coming. We need to live ready for his return. So our passage is Matthew 25, 1 to 13, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. I'll be using the New Living Translation, as Chris has said, as I go through the passage. The context of this parable is that it's actually Jesus answering a question that the disciples ask him at the start of Matthew 24. They ask him, when will this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world? And one of his responses is this parable about being prepared. In the story, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a wedding, and he tells about 10 bridesmaids and how ready or not they are for the arrival of the bridegroom. The background to this is explained by Warren Wiersbe and Craig Blomberg as follows. In those days, a wedding had two parts. First, the bridegroom and his friends would go from his house to collect the bride from her parents. Then the couple would proceed through the streets, accompanied by the wedding party, to the groom's parents' home, where the festivities would be completed. The second part would have happened at night, as it often does with weddings today. So the bridesmaids would have needed oil lamps to light the way for the procession. In this case, it seems the bridegroom was considerably delayed. The young woman who did not bring extra oil realized when they trim the wicks of their lamps, that they've already used up all of their oil. They ask those with extra to share with them, but the other bridesmaids do not have enough for everyone. By the time the unprepared girls return with their extra oil, the procession has already arrived at the groom's home and gone inside, and the door is locked. So let's have a closer look at the passage and see what we can learn from it. In verse 1 of chapter 25, we see that the parable it's about what is known as the kingdom of heaven, which is when Jesus will return to judge and rule over all things. The bridegroom in the story represents Jesus. We see in verses 2 and 3 that there are 5 foolish and 5 wise bridesmaids. The foolish ones are not prepared for the arrival of the bridegroom, as they did not have enough oil to keep their lamps alight. In verse 5, we read that the bridegroom's arrival was delayed. Now, it's easy for us to think that Jesus won't return for a long time, and so we don't have a sense of urgency about it. But a delayed return is no excuse for not being ready. In fact, we should be more ready because we've had the time to get our lives right. Then, when the bridegroom does arrive, the timing is unexpected. Verse 6 says, "At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.'" Who is ready at midnight? Well, we should be. C.S. Lewis said the following, "Precisely because we cannot predict the moment, we must be ready at all moments." So we need to live ready for his return. We need to live ready for his return. In verse 8, the bridesmaids who are not ready ask the others to please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. Now, the response of those who are ready for the bridegroom's arrival may seem selfish. They say, "We don't have enough oil for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." But remember that this is a parable and this has a spiritual meaning. The point of this is that no one can rely on someone else's preparations. The theologian Craig Blomberg comments the following: "The salvation of one person cannot be transferred like oil to another. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven just because you attend church or because you have a friend or family member who is a Christian. The only way is to personally respond to Jesus." We see that the implications are huge for those who are not prepared. Verse 10 says that while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. It continues, "Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you.'" This is a decisive and shocking rejection. The lesson is that there will be a moment in time when it will be too late to respond. So we need to respond now if we haven't yet. We need to live ready for his return. Then we are reminded in verse 13 that the lessons of this parable apply to us. Jesus says, "So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." Since we don't know when he'll return, we need to live ready for his return. We need to live ready for his return. Well, how do we do that? There are 2 aspects to our response. The first is that we need to make sure that we know Jesus as our Saviour before he comes back. Someone said the following, "I don't know what my future holds but I do know who holds my future. The question is, do you know who holds your future? If not, you can know tonight. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You see, we often compare ourselves to others and we think we're okay, but that's not the standard to measure ourselves by. The standard we have to meet is God's glorious purity and holiness, and all of us fall short of that. Later on in Romans, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is a consequence if we reject Jesus. We will be shut out of eternity with God. What a devastating result. But there's good news. That doesn't have to be the case. You can make sure tonight that you're ready for his return. The Bible's promise in Romans 10, verse 9, is that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'll lead a prayer at the end of my talk. I'm going to say a little bit more, but just to tell you now, I'm going to lead a prayer at the end of this talk if that is something you would like to have certainty about. Now, the second aspect of our response, if perhaps you already know Jesus as Saviour, Lord and Saviour, but those of us who do still need to live ready for his return. I'd like you to visualise something for a moment. Perhaps close your eyes. Close your eyes. A giant trumpet blasts suddenly and the sound reverberates around the world. Thunder booms from horizon to horizon. The sky lights up with what seems like lightning, but it's brighter than anything you ever dreamed was possible, and you have to shield your eyes. The light exposes everything that's been done on earth, in public and in secret. An archangel proclaims Jesus' glorious arrival, accompanied by a multitude of angels, and a chorus of worship erupts from the heavens. And every eye can see him, wherever they are in the world. Now imagine what you might be doing in the middle of that happening. Might it be something you're proud of, or something you'd be embarrassed about? What are you and I dabbling in that we'll be embarrassed about if Jesus returned tonight? Maybe it's an inappropriate relationship. Perhaps it's the way we behave towards somebody when no one else is around. Perhaps it's how we use our phones or the internet or what we watch on Netflix or YouTube or TV, or what we do with our money or a multitude of other things. Consider now what things in life you'd hate to be caught doing if Jesus came back now. Well, he's watching us now. He sees all we do and think. So let's stop doing the things he wouldn't approve of. Let's live ready for his return. Alternatively, on the positive side, what good things will we regret not having done for him if Jesus came back tonight? Bearing in mind that he sacrificed his life to save us from our sin for all eternity. That puts things in perspective. George Muller, the famous Christian evangelist and founder of schools and orphanages, said the following: when the day of recompense comes, our only regret will be that we have done so little for him, not that we have done too much. Our only regret will be that we have done so little for him, not out that we've done too much. I could list a whole lot of possible ways for us to serve and thank Jesus, but I'm not going to do that. And the reason is, I don't want to suggest things that are too trivial, ideas that fall short of the amazing things that God might lead you to do for him in response. And so instead, if you've been touched by this, I'd suggest you ask God what he wants you to do. Read the Bible, pray, and keep asking him until he lays some details on your heart. But remember, you don't have to do more. It isn't a burden. Rather, let your heart be touched anew by God. Let his love and mercy for you change you and make you want to live for him. Not because you have to, but because you want to. The immediacy of his return is a helpful reminder for us to put things in perspective and prioritize based on the things which matter to him, the things of eternal consequence. So let's all live ready for his return. Amen. Now I am going to pray, as I said I would, for us. And the first thing I'd like to do is pray for you and with you. If you don't know him, if you don't know Jesus as your savior with certainty, what you can do right now is just echo these words quietly in your heart, or if you have the space and privacy, say them out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Take a few moments to ask forgiveness for anything particular that is on your conscience. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and be set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. Please come into my life now by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now I'm also going to pray for those who already know Jesus as their Savior. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would touch us all with the urgency and the immediacy of the possible return of your Son tonight, or help us to live as though that could happen every day. Show us the things we need to sort out. Show us the things we need to clean up in our lives. Show us the positive, good, wonderful, marvelous things that you want us to focus on to build your kingdom and to share your name and the good news of your salvation with others. Lead us, Lord, as we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Back to Chris.